Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. The first broadcast of the Word of Grace took place on January 28, 1969, with the founding minister, the Reverend Donald Campbell. We are now entering into our 51st year. We are grateful to God for the comfort and inspiration which so many have received from the broadcast over the years. Financial support for our radio ministry comes from listeners throughout Eastern Townships and beyond. We are grateful for the faithful support we have received. It is especially helpful to receive donations over the course of the year. Memorial donations given in memory of deceased relatives and friends may be made at any time. Our prayerful hope and expectation is that the broadcast will continue to be heard well into the future. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Remember also that you can access the program at any time on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you. Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace this Sunday, 21st of May, 2023. This is the Sunday in which churches often remember the risen Jesus returning to the Father. This is Ascension Sunday. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and I'm so pleased to have you here, whether it is because you're following a recording from the CJMQ website, or indeed you're listening live on Sunday morning. It's through CJMQ that we're broadcasting to the Eastern Townships of Quebec and beyond. Here is a psalm that's associated with coronations and crownings. Psalm 93. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days.
When morning gilds us
Let us pray. God of majesty and mystery, we praise you as Lord of all, maker of the deepest dimensions and of delicate details of all that is. You live beyond time and hold all our days in your hand, yet you still come to us in Jesus as Lord of mercy, to walk with us wherever we are in the world. In him you claim us as beloved children, blessed by the Spirit in his name. Receive our prayers and praise this day, and inspire us to live as witnesses to your grace and goodness, here and everywhere, now and always. Lord Jesus Christ, you call us to carry the good news of God's love and forgiveness to the ends of the earth. Yet we often cannot find the words to tell others of our faith and hope. We fall silent when we could speak up. We try to act out your love, but we confess we usually act in our own best interests. Forgive us all the ways we fail to follow you. While it is true that we have all fallen short in our call to follow Jesus, it is a greater truth that we are forgiven through his grace. Let us remember the good news. In Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven. Let us be at peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. Amen.
Be this while life is mine, my Jesus Christ be praised. Be this eternal song through all the ages long. May Jesus Christ be praised.
Our reading this morning comes from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. The Acts of the Apostles was written as the sequel, the follow-up, if you like, to the Gospel of Luke. And in the opening verse, Luke tells his dear friend Theophilus about the purpose of why he was writing. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen.
All the armies of the world will someday gather, and they'll pass before the great reviewing stand, and they'll beat their swords and weapons in the plowshares, and the Prince of Peace will give the last command. Unobscured, the sun will drive away the shadows at the dawning of that great eternal day. And there'll be no sounds of crying from the ghettos, for all grief and pain and death will pass away.
When King Jesus comes to live with us again, he will show his righteous love to every man. Wars and strife will all be past, there'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us again, there'll be peace on earth at last. When King Jesus comes to live with us again.
There is, in the southwest of England, in the county of Cornwall, that peninsula of England that sticks out into the Atlantic Ocean, a town called St. Austell, which has within it a very ancient church. On the walls of the church are some emblemic shields depicting some of the main features of the Christian faith, and tourists inspecting the symbol of Christ's ascension look either puzzled or sceptical, for all that they see is an image of a lower edge of a garment and 2 feet are shown, lifted a little above the ground. In this modern space age, it seems to make no sense. Yet for the past 700 years, it has served that church well as an effective sermon in stone. Successive generations have read the symbol, and its message has got through even to the illiterate. However, in our matter-of-fact world, some have lost the sense of imaginative metaphor and figurative expression. They think of Jesus being ascending into heaven like Superman, when in fact this is a picture and a metaphor of Jesus translating from the visible physical realm to the invisible spiritual realm. Fiction seems to be preferred to faith. With eyes fixed on fiction, they're blind to the fact and meaning of Christ's ascension. One wants to put to them the question addressed to the first disciples. Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up into the heavens? This same Jesus, who is taken from you into heaven, shall come back in the same manner that you have seen him go into heaven. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet. Three tremendous truths follow from the ascension of Jesus. Firstly is the crowning of Christ. The ascension reveals Christ raised up to the highest estate. At the coronation of King Charles III, on all of those television pictures that were broadcast to us, we saw all kinds of people from all kinds of walks of life, and some of them, the great and the good of the land, were dressed in fine robes, the Lord's spiritual, the Lord's temporal, and the commons. And the life peers come up from the House of Commons in the United Kingdom system of government. But Christ at the Ascension was raised to the highest estate of all, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the only ruler of princes. He sits at God's right hand, and from his exalted state beholds all the dwellers upon the earth. Bethlehem marks Christ's descent from heaven to a lowly estate, and Bethany, his ascent to glory. Ascension Day was his coronation day. As it says in the letter to Philippians, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." If we have the crowning of Christ, we also have the commissioning of his church. Because from the crowned Christ came the commission of his church. It was both a missionary mandate and a royal charter. It conveyed authority from the throne room of heaven. He who gave the missionary command and commission was the one to whom all power in heaven and on earth had been committed. For Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Endowed with this authority, the apostles went forth as ambassadors and heralds of the heavenly kingdom. They were commissioned to continue Christ's work, preach his gospel, and call men and women of all nations to accept him as Saviour and Lord. If there is the crowning of Christ, there's the commissioning of his church, but there's also the confirming of his word. Thirdly, the ascension endorsed the preaching of the gospel with signs following. The phrase comes from the footnote to St. Mark's Gospel. One of the oldest copies of St. Mark's Gospel broke off rather incongruously with, "Neither said they anything to anyone, for they were afraid." What happened? Was the scribe interrupted? Did Nero's police suddenly seize the writer of that gospel? Was the brittle manuscript broken and the original ending lost? We can only guess, but it's certain that the gospel did not end with silence and fear. In no way would that match the heroism of the glorious company of the apostles. The inspired footnote says that wherever the apostles went, the presence of the Lord went with them, working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Freed from the limitations accepted at Bethlehem, the ascended Christ was no longer bound by space or time. The man of Galilee had become the saviour of the world. In David Livingstone's missionary journal, he wrote on the January 14, 1856, in the evening. He felt much turmoil of spirit in prospect of having all my plans knocked on the head by savages tomorrow. But I read that Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." David Livingstone continued, "It is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honour, so there's an end of it. I will not cross furtively tonight. I feel quite calm now, thank God." The Lord was working with him and confirming his word with signs following. Sinners converted, the sick were healed, ignorance was enlightened and slavery smitten. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Thank you. Let us pray. God of the generations in time and eternity, we turn to you in these moments to offer you our thanks, praise, and also our hopes for our lives. We give thanks that your Son, Jesus Christ, glorified you on earth by finishing your work and making you known to us as the only true God in whom we find eternal life. When he was crucified, you raised him to new life. When he ascended into heaven, he promised to send the Holy Spirit, who fills us with your truth and power and protects us in the name of Christ, so that your church may be one, even as you and the Father are one. This morning we give you thanks for all those people who have shown us your face and taught us to follow you through the loving example of their living faith. We're grateful for their wisdom and courage, which continue to inspire us. Thank you for our life together in your church and the saints we've known here. May the light of Christ shine through our lives too, so that we offer light for the world you love as witnesses to your purpose. Christ of compassion in action, in you we receive our call to live with purpose. From you we learn how to love those around us. With you we find strength to face each new day. So today we offer our prayers for those facing challenges these days and seek your guidance to respond to their cries. We pray for those brought to mind by news headlines this week, for situations of violence and deprivation, danger and devastation, forest fires out west. We pray for families going through difficult times, for all who are sick or in sorrow, for all who are lonely or despairing. We pray for those agonizing over important decisions and responsibilities, for those in leadership roles and for those who care for the most vulnerable. Spirit of healing and hope, we pray for the work of healing and reconciliation in Canada, between Indigenous people and those who have settled in this land. Heal lives limited by misunderstanding and bring hope for just resolutions to problems of long standing. Creator, Christ and Spirit, move with us into the week ahead. Remind us each day to live according to your will and purpose in all our relationships, for we want to bear witness to the love we met in Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for being with me this morning. God's purpose in the world and for our lives is being mediated and carried forward through the church. So I hope you can find your way to a community of faith where you can honour Christ crowned as King, the Church commissioned, and the Word confirmed. You can join us at St. Andrew's Sherbrooke at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in person, or perhaps you can join us online through YouTube and Facebook page. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
Men of faith, rise up and sing of the great and glorious. You are strong when you feel weak, in your brokenness complete. Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven and earth. Rise up, wind of the truth, stand and sing to broken hearts, who can know the healing.
We've been refined by the power of His name. We've fallen deeper in love with You. You've burned this truth in our land. Songs again of our God who reigns on high. By His grace again we'll fly.
Shout to the north and the south, sing to the east and the west. Jesus is Savior to all, Lord of heaven.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.